Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Uncovered Empire.
Uncovered Empire. Holy...
Yeah, that is
quite something for a Star Trek suggestion.
Yeah, we're doing Star Trek films. That one given to us by Alex, not safe for work, Keen.
Thanks, Alex. Friend of the show.
On Facebook, he got in touch with us on facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show as well. So, as we said before, we're doing Star Trek.
Woo! Yay. Them Star Treks.
Star Trek.
Now, don't turn off. No. Fine. If you don't do Star Trek already,
you will by
the end of this.
Guaranteed, whether you like it or not.
We're gonna try and keep the internal consistency of the world for the Star Trek as light as possible. Because
speak for yourself.
As you know, if you're listening to this show or have done before, ain't none of this gonna make sense.
No. Joining us today is Jack Greenway and Ed Crawley.
Hello.
Hi.
Star Trek fans.
Yes,
I believe.
Absolutely. I've got a model of the Enterprise in my living room. I think I qualify.
Fair. Okay.
You just,
So went to London and we were planning Hollywood and I requested that I be sat next to Captain Kirk's communicator.
Nice. I've watched the films.
Like Star Trek, the TV shows.
Oh, wait, no, I haven't watched all the films because I tried to watch the first one and couldn't get through it.
The first one is utterly awful.
And the last one is the best one. Yeah. So, I love Beyond to Bits and I can't really explain why, but I think it's,
I think I'd second that opinion, but I think Star Trek 4, I think, might be my favourite one.
I don't know what happens in that.
It's the one
with the whales.
Yeah.
That is a great one.
The one where they save whales.
We'll drive to downtown Haverford West and just start collecting people. Now then, lads, get into the ship, please.
I'm a huge fan of Star Trek VI. Undiscovered Country.
Yeah, that's good. So, Star Trek, we're just pitching one film this week for the main episode.
Yeah.
There may be more in the deleted scenes coming up on Monday, but we're thinking we spend the entire episode building the cast of the bridge of the new ship, which we have to name.
We have to come up with what it looks like. I ain't going with any of this single disc on front of two legs shit.
I think first we need to decide where in the Star Trek timeline we're placing this.
Which universe?
New universe is the orb universe where a big orb came down and said, no more of this! And then we're just somewhere in Star Trek.
I think we do it in the J.J. Abrams universe. Disrespectfully disagree.
It's the one with the most blank space. It's the biggest canvas for us to work with.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's the one with the most blanks, but that's a very J.J. Abrams thing, isn't it? Just setting up stuff with tons of blank spaces and then not being able to follow through filling those blank spaces.
Yeah, giving it to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Simon Pegg.
Yep.
So, J.J. Abrams, what's the title again?
The title again is Uncovered Empire.
I'm thinking setting it maybe 10 years after Beyond.
Okay.
So still, like if we want Kirk and Spock to turn up, we can.
What if it was like 100 years after or 200 years after, and the Uncovered Empire is just some fuckers who run across an Enterprise and then start learning about the Federation after it's fucking dead.
I wanted this to be the Hook. Is it the Hook?
The Connie Hook. Oh, you're thinking about the Klingon.
The people.
I was thinking of the Ildirans.
Which ones were the Ildirans?
They're the ones.
Me and Tom are looking at each other. We have no idea what's happening here.
Oh, Yeah.
I'm just going to raise a point. If at any point I feel as though we're drifting into more Star Trek chat that no one, I don't understand, I'm going to go, what the fuck are you talking about?
So Tom is our layman. Tom.
I'm the audience here, guys.
Tom Everyman.
I think we
Joe someone.
I think that we start it on a like a destroyed planet where some folks are just like scrambling around in the dirt, and then they come across a little badge that says Kirk among corpses and burnt out husks.
What I'm thinking, they come across a crashed Starfleet ship, and the crew have suspended themselves in the transporters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's been done.
And it's thousands of years later after the Federation has been
involved. Holy shit. Yeah.
So.
It's some kids. It's got to be some kids. Like, it's like the whole cast of Stranger Things. No,
we can't do that.
Yeah, we can. And they're all like, what's going on here? We're just picking through some scraps, like in the start of The Force Awakens. And then, like, they pull up a thing and they're like, what's this glowing button do? And it's like, wee. And then all the whole crew are all beamed out of the transporter.
I'm all for a post-apocalyptic Star Trek adventure.
Maybe that can be the genre.
Oh, my God. Okay, right. We start off. With Kirk, we start off with the Enterprise, Kirk, and the whole crew of the Enterprise, right? And then they're like, "Whoa, what's going on? There's a hyper slipspace problem with the Quark Venture." And then we're like, they bomb into this portal gate, and they're like, "What's going on?" And then cut to black, and then suddenly these kids are picking through some scraps.
I've got it. Quick pitch for the opening. It's not the Enterprise crew. It's our new crew.
Yeah.
They're on a new, I was about to say hyperspace. That's Star Wars. Now, a brand new warp drive test.
It's the Excelsior. It's the Excelsior in the Kelvin universe. They're testing the transwarp drive.
Okay.
They're testing a new warp drive.
Yep, right. For the layman. It's a new warp drive.
Is this like warp 10 that turns everyone into lizards?
Yeah. This will have, at some point in this film, everyone will be lizards, but we will get to
that. We'll figure out how we got there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they try this new thing, and then the ship just vanishes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, vanishes into thin air. We've got Simon Pegg on this bridge of this space station going, what the fuck just happened? That's the first line of the film.
Scotty just swearing.
Yeah. So Scott is in charge of this engineering thing, and then this ship just, and you hear like, and then just bing, and nothing.
And then the title comes up, Star Trek, in Comic Sans. The Uncovered Empire.
Yeah. And then Scotty's like, what the hell happened there? They were just supposed to go around the block.
This is Tarantino directing, so it's what the fuck happened there? So like, I think this new crew has been sent I think just forward in time, I guess.
Yeah. Or back.
I think it's definitely a Planet of the Apes vibe. So it's kind of like they go through this thing. It's crashed, but they all like get suspended by like
in the transporters,
right? Ooh. And then that's when because we fade to black, we cut to these kids picking through a junkyard of stuff of crashed space debris, and they reactivate what is just the transporter room out in the middle of a field, and they put an energy coil into it, and it goes, and they all come back, and then they and basically the rest of the film is Mad Max adventures.
In space with
Star Trek. No, it's just on that planet, and the idea is they've got to go around trying to get the pieces of their ship back.
Let's not throw the twist at. That's just a base concept.
Yeah.
Right now we've got to cast.
Yeah.
The film.
Okay.
So, Star Trek. Who have we got? We've got the captain.
Yeah.
The person on the helm. The Sulu
officer.
Character.
Yeah.
The
first
officer.
Yeah. Science officer.
Science.
Comms.
Comms.
Tactical officer. Tactical. Obscurity. Medic.
medic.
Who's the doctor.
Yeah.
And then the one other one. Like Neelix or Quark.
Comic relief.
Yeah, there's that one seat in the on the bridge that's just got a whoopee cushion on it. and then you've got engineering.
All they're there for is exposition.
We've got seven main cast. That's eight main cast there. Okay, so
that's good.
We've got a lot to put. Captain, who are we thinking? Who's got presence?
Roger Allam. Yep.
From V for Vendetta
and other things. Yeah, V for Vendetta, the guy who's like England prevails.
If we're casting V for Vendetta, the guy that plays V, Mr. Anderson,
Hugo Weaving would be a great captain.
Yeah. If you want Roger Allam.
Roger Allam is the guy that's made the warp drive, I think.
Is that from Cochrane?
He
invented the new drive. Drive.
He's the villain, I reckon, in this.
Ooh.
But like the main, okay, there's the main existential villain. I imagine there'll be some smaller villains.
Yeah,
but he's the
big bad.
He's the big bad in all this. So we've got Hugo Weaving as the captain. First officer.
They need to be. So Hugo Weaving's getting on a little bit now.
Karen Gillan.
Yes.
Karen Gillan.
That's, I was going to say, call. We need a sexy first officer.
She's got her hair in a bun, she's got librarian glasses, and her phases are always set to kill.
Karen Gillan, dangerous librarian.
Danger librarian.
That's... Oh, I want to see that film.
I want to make that film.
Karen Gillan,
just
Danger
out
library.
Hunting for people that haven't returned alive.
Oh my god! Why are we pitching Star Trek?
Coming next week, librarian films.
Karen Gillan, Danger librarian. Oh my god. So, comms.
Who's our comms officer?
Ooh, can we have a Romulan?
Yeah, who dress up nice as a Romulan?
Who looks good in green face?
Who's going to look great in green face and huge square pants?
Melanie Griffith.
Zoe Deschanel. Zoe Deschanel with a funky forehead.
And I've got to make the post.
I mean, that fringe. Yeah. That fringe already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's got the right fringe for it. Oh, my God.
The Romulan bowl cut.
Helmsman.
Someone young.
Yeah.
Michael Cera.
Oh no, who's Spider-Man?
Oh, Tom Holland.
Tom Holland.
That's a good call.
As Ensign
Holland.
Ensign Jiminy.
He's the conscience of the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I understand science better than everyone.
Ensign Cricket. Ensign Jiminy Cricket.
Ensign Jiminy Cricket. Do it. Yeah.
Okay, ops.
Oh, bit of fan service. Should we get Will Wheaton on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Bit of fan service.
Yeah. Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Back in the chair.
As Wesley Crusher.
Yeah. I'm just making these notes purely for the poster.
We need another alien, I feel.
Yeah.
We've got a Romulan, but they're not aliens.
A gas monster from space. Like something that can survive in space on its own. Because we need the novelty. With the Vulcan. So here's trope spotting. We're going into the trope spotting segment. In Star Trek, there's always, every single crew, there is always someone there whose purpose of them being there is to question the nature of humanity through not understanding humanity.
Yes. So Spock, Data, Odo, Seven of Nine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's always one. So this one is
two of those.
Is one of those hyper powerful gas monsters that can zoom through space on its own.
It's it's the one from the Futurama episode of
Melvar.
Yeah, yeah.
I am Melvar, knower of the tapes.
it's one of the, so it's a green gas thing.
But it's not. It's not like hyper powerful. But it can survive on its own in space.
Yeah. Who are we thinking for? Someone with a Ron Perlman, the voice of Ron Perlman.
He likes makeup. Yeah. Yes.
the voice and face of Ron Perlman.
And the thing is, it's going to be mo-capped, so it'll just be Ron Perlman with arms spread eagled, legs spread eagled.
Is he security then?
Yeah. Because every time someone gets on board the bridge, someone beams on board the bridge to
just engulfs them.
He just engulfs them and suffocates them. He's a toxic gas.
Did you kill them again?
Yeah, what of it?
No, I just stopped them breathing. Yeah, that's killing them, Melvar.
Melvar.
Shit.
Commander Melvar.
And because it's Tarantino, it's just like you just watch them die.
Wait. So is this a Tarantino?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's fucking brilliant. Yeah. Yes.
But we can throw swear words. We can throw endless amounts of blood in there. This is not a PG.
Yeah. So
this
basically, like, someone beams aboard the bridge, and it's someone that's like. Diplomatically, like, not here, neither here nor there. They're not attacking, but they're not like they're also not friendly. And Melvar just jumps on them, surrounds them in this toxic gas, and we watch as their eyes start to bleed.
Oh, yes,
he's a bit of a Deus Ex Machina, really.
Not only in the same way that like Worf was a Deus Ex Machina, in that like Worf could beat most people up, but every now and again you made a villain that could like flip Worf over, and then you were like, whoa. Fair. If he can flip Worf over.
I mean, they did that a lot, though.
Yeah. Everyone in the universe.
Worf was trashed around a lot and always denied. Yeah. I don't know how he ever got promoted, but none of his ideas were ever implemented. Yeah.
So, medic?
Okay, someone like sassy. Someone kind of.
RuPaul.
Alright,
so you said sass and just where my mind went straight away.
RuPaul of RuPaul's Drag Race is our medical
Have
officer.
Fun making this post.
So we've got engineering now. Who's in engineering?
Can we just have like a monkey? Just a full
just a monkey.
Andy Serkis.
Yes.
As a monkey.
Andy Serkis. Just like swinging around the wall.
Again, like that Futurama episode.
But with a screwdriver, you know. You know, it's like screwing around the warp core, fixing things properly. He's a good engineer. Yes.
So Caesar from Planet of the Apes, I guess.
Just want the scene where the captain.
Hugo Weaving's
like... what's going on down there in he's Australian, isn't he?
He's Australian.
What's going on down there in engineering? Are we gonna get away from them? We're at warp 7, and then and he's like, very good. I'm glad you got on schedule. it's like a Chewbacca. It looks because you cut down to engineering, and it's just like a monkey. There's like red alert lights everywhere. There's a monkey just smashing. Just like sparks flying everywhere, shooting things with phasers, and then cut back to the captain, who's like, I'm glad you're on schedule.
No. The engineering staff are just ducking and hiding.
Could he be Donkey Kong?
Well, the thing is, he's actually really good at his job. All that smashing and throwing he was doing was the right thing to do.
He's just taking a banana, jamming it in the warp core, and it's somehow fixed it.
We're forgetting the opening act of this film being a warp core malfunction.
Yeah, but there's nothing to do with the monkey.
Oh, can we just kill him straight off?
That's the thing. I think the monkey's there by accident.
No, the monkey is... Right, the monkey... I'm putting my foot down here. The monkey is the engineering officer. Yeah. The monkey does, however, get blamed.
Yes.
So the monkey is... Everyone's like... We knew we were taking a bloody risk when we brought a monkey on board in engineering. I bloody knew I shouldn't have brought a bloody engineer.
But damn it, he's my best friend.
And and everyone's like, and then some of the crew are like, you shouldn't be so hard on the monkey. We don't know it was his fault. Of course it was bloody his fault. He's a monkey. And then as we go on, they discover the clues that mean that it wasn't the monkey. It was actually a fatal flaw in the warp core, and that Roger Allam, the designer of the warp core that they were using, had set the monkey up to fail because he didn't want that race. He's a racist. He didn't want the intelligent monkey race in the Federation.
Can we have an entire security detail as well that is just all of the Chris's? All of the Chris's in red shirts.
All the Chris's are red shirts.
Including Pine, for some reason. Kirk's been demoted.
Chris Pine, is in this universe as just a red... No, he's just he's playing Chris Pine. Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth.
Pratt.
Chris Pratt, Chris O'Dowd.
Chrissy Hines.
Chrissy Hines, Kristen Bell.
I think it's
Christian
like...
Bale.
Christian Bale.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. They're all red shirts. So they've crash landed on this planet, and we get the kids from Stranger Things all dressed up as we get the Mad Max team. Like, we can't speak because language is dead to us, but we can communicate otherwise, like this.
We can't speak, but here we are speaking.
Yeah, as they uncover in the sand the
wreckage of the crash.
It must be the Universal Translator.
Yeah, what's the name of the ship?
Right, hang on. So they come through the
USS Tempest.
Ooh, I like that. I was going to suggest the Entropy, but I prefer Tempest.
The Tempest, because of Shakespeare.
USS Billabong for me, but so these kids are walking in, and then there's one kid that like they bring along as some kind of like this kid always follows him around. This kid's from a different race. A different kind of space race that's on this planet as well, and they can't communicate. They play ball and stuff, but this kid can't communicate with them. Is that universal thing of children? Like there are two of the Stranger Things kids.
We have exactly almost shot for shot Stranger Things season one, where Elle can't speak, and they have to and they try and communicate with her. It's just that, except they find a spaceship.
I was going somewhere with this,
which is like, I know. That's why you stopped me going somewhere with it. So you have like one kid who can't speak their language, and they walk into this like junkyard area, which they're used to doing. They're like looking for scraps, looking for toys, whatever, looking for stuff to sell. And then they realize that they can speak to each other because they've walked in on the Universal Translator field.
They've found a communicator.
Yeah.
And it starts kicking
off the Universal Translator. The kid who can't speak, who I guess will be played by that I can't remember
Millie Bobby Brown.
Is like says something, and then the Universal Translator kind of translates it for the kids, and then they realise that they're in a slightly still working USS Tempest. And they're looking on the walls, and they have all that stuff, and it's basically a beat from Beyond, where essentially, you know, like a beat from Star Trek Beyond, where you know they're inside a crashed ship, and they then realise that it's a Federation ship,
a cryogenically frozen crew,
or a
motorbike.
And a motorbike.
I mean, it's on every ship, really, isn't it?
There were at least three on every ship, I seem to remember, yeah.
Yeah, it's full compliment.
But RuPaul's motorbike.
RuPaul's got, like, three motorbikes in this thing.
It's like, there's just one in Beyond. No, we're properly upstaging Beyond.
Yeah.
We've got three motorbikes.
Take this, Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Thanks for cameoing in our movie.
We've got three motorbikes. We've managed to write them into this fucking film. they unfreeze the crew, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have a film. We'd just be following these kids. Yeah.
Yes, it would be fun if they became the crew, but no, I agree. We have to unfreeze the crew.
There's one thing Ron Pillman's character can do that we haven't discovered yet.
What's that?
And that's swap bodies. Swap minds with people.
Oh, that's okay. How, so he swaps, so he's still floating around because he's in immortal gas.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just been floating around inside the wreckage of the ship.
But he can't press the button.
So he then takes over the bodies of one of the kids and uses the body of the kid to like activate the transporter and to beam the people back in.
He must be a fairly shit tactical officer if he can't push the fire button.
Yeah, the computers, you can interface with the computer with a
can expand and just destroy a ship.
There's that.
Yeah, you just can't press buttons. And let's be honest, how many buttons do you actually see on the bridge controls? They're always like weird touchscreen panels, capacitance. It's so there's all sorts of stuff where you like drag your hands across it or whatever.
I'm feeling on the bridge, on his terminal, he's got some like little metal prongs that he can kind of float over.
Yeah,
and like electricity.
Oh,
and
like
he controls it that
like
way.
A theremin.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a theremin. You know, they had like barcode scanners as props. Just like
he can encode the sound like the internet. You know when you had dial up internet and you pick the phone up and it's like that was all information encoded into that sound, right?
Yeah.
So he can do that, but with a theremin.
And his command code is just the original. Like,
yeah, no,
Star
I was
Trek.
Gonna say, like, yeah. At the end. that's all he does at the beginning. It's just playing that sort of silently in the background almost, yeah. Like at the opening scenes. And you're like, is that the music or is he just playing the theremin? We're not sure.
In fact, at some point when he's just idling, when he's just searching things out on the tactical screen, it just goes like, you can take that bit out. No, he's going to understand that.
He's playing just background Foley noise.
Background Foley noise for the Enterprise.
Oh, don't worry. I'll put the background Foley track on the entire episode.
So we've had alien gas has taken over the control of a small child's body.
Yeah,
he's brought the rest of the crew back out of transporter station.
Yeah, so like Elle from Stranger Things, maybe Bobby Brown, like her eyes are like green because she's been possessed by. In fact, no, it shouldn't. Maybe Bobby Brown has found the communicator. It has to be someone else. So Dustin, the kid that plays Dustin in Stranger Things,
Gaten Matarazzo.
He's been possessed by whatever his name was, the gas boy.
Melvar,
the gas boy. And then so his eyes are green, his nose is bleeding, like his ear is bleeding out his ears as well.
That's
and
what
then,
happens whenever he takes. Like he's like he could just take control of the body peacefully. Yeah. Just nose is bleeding, ears bleeding, eyes bleeding, and it's completely harmless.
He just looks a lot of blood.
Yeah. He just looks really alarming.
Yeah. Yeah. he says, it's completely harmless.
His arms fall off.
And the kids are screaming.
So, anyway, so Dustin's like, beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 and he reactivates the rest of the crew. Now we have to think of, like, story and shit. Now we're not just futzing around with a character dying.
I'm thinking because we've not got the budget to have a green glowing thing with the face of Ron Perlman for the rest of the episode. I'm thinking we just have the kids from Stranger Things with the voice of Ron Perlman.
I think just Dustin. Like, we can just have Dustin as Ron Perlman's character.
Always bleeding from the eyes.
Yeah. Constantly bleed. Like, it just pools around him.
At one point, it's like, where did Melvar go? And he's like, follow the blood.
and then RuPaul, who's the... no, RuPaul is
the
medical,
doctor.
Right? Yeah.
The doctor.
RuPaul's like, this child is about to... die, Melvar. And Mel was like, I found him that way.
It was like that.
You were there before I re-resurrected you all.
If you leave this child, his body will completely die.
I resurrected you. Give me this one.
All right, but I'm so, telling the captain.
So are you offering your body in play instead? No, it's fine. It's fine. No, don't worry about it.
I'll just sashay away.
So, and then it takes, like, Hugo Weaving obviously is the last to wake up. and they're not sure whether he'll survive because his pod was like ruptured or something like that, or whatever memory bank he was in the transporter was they weren't sure about it. And then eventually he comes through and he steps out like in the new captain's uniform. That's like real cool. He's got a long black leather coat and
he's got a leather jacket.
It's a PVC jacket like in The Matrix.
But it's just with the four captain's pips.
Yeah, the four pips. And then it's like you got a yellow jumper on underneath.
He's constantly wearing sunglasses with little hologram things on.
Oh, that link into the ship's computer, so he's always... So he's got, like, a view screen in his glasses.
So, oh, like they had in the Dominion War.
Yes,
the Jem'Hadar had that.
What?
And
the Borta had them.
Yeah.
What?
eyepieces.
So he's got a magic eyepiece that shows him what the ship's computer's doing, right? But at the start, and someone explains this to him. So who else we got? Oh yeah, Will Wheaton says, "Do you know that special eyepiece he's got?" As he says to one of the Stranger Things kids, "Can see everything the computer can see." And the kid says, "What can you see in it, Captain?" And then and he's like, "Well, it's underground, so it's underground, so I can see darkness. You shit."
I just wanted him to just launch into Rutger Hauer's soliloquy from Blade Runner. I've seen things you wouldn't believe.
I've seen attack ships on fire with the shoulder of Orion.
So right, we need
Orions.
Let's get to the Mad Max bit. I was waiting for this bit, the Mad Max bit. So like the kids take them back to like Junk Town, not Barter Town. It's called Scrap and Sell Town.
I'm thinking,
Scrap and Sell City.
I'm thinking at least one of them has to stay behind to sort of
fix it up. It's the monkey.
The monkey.
Oh yeah.
The monkey.
The monkey and Will Wheaton
stay behind. Yeah. The engineering officer and the ops officer stay
just
behind.
Just called the monkey.
No, it's called Bozo.
Wrenches.
Bozo Wrenches. We're doing Star Trek, not Star Wars.
Oh yeah, sorry. I forgot that Bozo was a Star Wars name, but he's still
Bozo
called
Wrenches.
He's still
especially.
Called Bozo Wrenches. I don't care. That's the name. That's the kind of name you'd give a monkey engineer.
Commander Wrenches.
Commander Wrenches and Will Wheaton's name. What's his? Is it just
Wesley
Will
Crusher.
Wheaton?
Wesley Crusher.
It's Wesley Crusher, who's gone back in time.
Yeah.
Didn't we set this in the?
This is forward in time.
So this could just be
because
Wesley.
Scotty was at the Peggy. Start.
It's 10 years after Star Trek Beyond, so there is a plot that we're missing out.
Wesley Crusher
has gone back in time. It's not explained.
Don't worry about it.
That's what Will Wheaton
fans love a plot hole.
In fact, Will
can't
Wheaton,
get enough of them.
Will Wheaton turns to the camera and says, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah. He says, like, before they set off on their epic journey, he just turns to the camera and goes, "Don't worry about it." Like, it means two things.
I'm wanting
just
to
smash as
I'm
a
wanting just to trickle just a little bit of maybe potential. I just want to see just occasionally his hands get the fading out bars thing that happens when the Traveller's doing his weird thing. And that kind of hints at how it might have happened. But it's never addressed.
When you said fading out bars thing, I was like, oh, like in Back to the Future, like he's going, like fading away physically.
But when the Traveller's doing his weird spacey stuff, he starts fading away in kind of very, very bad, like late 80s special effects, where bits of like bars across his body start fading in and out.
Oh, right, okay. So that's a cool idea. It just happens. And again, we don't explain it.
It does happen, right? But Will Wheaton turns to the camera and says, "Like in Back to the Future."
Don't worry about it. I'm
fading out, like in Back to the Future. Tap, tap. He says.
That makes it more confusing.
And then, okay, so they
to you maybe, to me, I've got it.
They're off to Scrap and Sell City, right?
Yeah.
Where you
run by Tina Turner.
Yeah. No, it's got to be Rihanna at this point, right? Like we've got to have the successor.
Yeah, it's Rihanna running. Was it Buy and Sell Town?
Scrap and Sell City.
Scrap and Sell City.
It's vaguely alliterative.
Yeah, think the little town from the beginning of Force Awakens, just a city.
Yeah. Scrap and Sell City. So they go in, and they've been taken through this junking corridor, and there's loads of Henson puppets for no reason.
Yeah.
And they're all going like, "What you doing here in my shop? Where I'm gonna you kids want to sell some stuff again?" They're like, "No, we've got friends now. We don't have to buy stuff from you anymore."
But this is where I think there's like a town guard that takes them to Rihanna.
Yeah.
I think,
because it's got to be like a philosophical thing. So Rihanna's like, "So you say you need to get yourself the equipment to repair your ship, and you say it can get off the planet. Is that right?"
"No one can get off this planet.
No one can get off the planet. That's a stupid idea. But you're welcome to try. All I need is..." And then she like says that she needs them to, I don't know, kill a guy.
Or could she just get them to fight in the lightning dome?
With dilithium crystals. They just need dilithium crystals to get off.
Yeah. I think she will eventually. But like, behind her... on her like throne of junk, there are like shining dilithium crystals above her. And then they need to steal that. Like, they need to do a job for her, and then she welches out on the deal. They steal the dilithium crystals for her, and then she throws them in the lightning dome for it. But we're gonna get there. Or we could just skip to there if you want.
And they're in the lightning dome and they're fighting away, and just as it looks like it's becoming hopeless, the monkey flies in a space shuttle that he's... one of the shuttles that he's repaired.
Good old wrenches.
And, like, blasts a hole in the side of the lightning dome and flies in and rescues them.
It's a dome made of lightning.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a big force field dome.
Yeah.
It's just a massive Tesla coil.
Yeah. A giant Tesla coil just radiating electricity. No one can see in.
Yeah.
It's purely a...
We didn't say it was a good idea.
It's not a spectacle. It's just they go in, two men enter, one man leaves.
That's a little too...
No one knows what happens.
That's a little too Deus Ex Machina for me, right? Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say that as they leave, Wrenches and RuPaul are having an argument where, like, RuPaul's like the person who can understand Chewie, like the Solo, you know. RuPaul's saying, like, "What do you mean you're working on a single engine first? What are you going to do with a single engine without a ship?" And then later on, and the monkey's like, "Ooh, ooh, ah, ah," like smashing stuff, just like throwing things together, welding a thing. And then and she goes, "All right, if you say so." RuPaul goes, "All right, if you say so." And then that's why Bobo... whatever.
Bozo
Wrenches comes crashing through the side of the lightning dome on a single engine.
Yes.
And that shows it like Sahara.
Just one nacelle. Just
and
he's also got a cowboy hat.
Riding it like the end of Doctor Strange.
Which shows Rihanna that they can get off the planet because they've managed to do that huge flying thing.
Oh, God. And there's a big chase back to the ship.
Yeah.
Where, let's say Karen Gillan has stolen the crystals from thrown while
that was going on.
While the lightning dome.
It was a distraction.
Yeah, basically. So, like Hugo Weaving's like, "We'll fire it in the lightning dome. Karen... just Karen, you can steal the crystals off the top of her throne." And Karen comes like, Yes.
That's in my skill set.
Pushes up the murder librarian glasses.
the glasses are a big feature.
And we need to have the hand-to-hand fight with the classic Star Trek fight music between Rihanna and Karen Gillan when Rihanna spots Karen Gillan stealing the crystals off the top of her throne.
They've got all these swords and stuff. The one thing is, though, there's loads of races in this town.
They've got those buggies. They've got the dune buggy type things.
I think you meant species.
Oh, right, I see. I thought you meant... because you'd said there was, like...
There's loads of races.
A chase scene in a minute.
Well, like, there's loads of species, also a lot of races as well. There's just pod racing. It's all pod racing. There's loads of species, but, like, I think, who else is there? Tom Holland, the helmsman, what was his name? Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
He questions it, and then Hugo Weaving's like, nah, shut the fuck up. Just doesn't really, yeah, because like we said, I think the big twist of the film is that it's in the future.
Well, I know, I think a big twist of the film is the reason they say that no one can get into space is not just because it's like a technological thing. Mm. They say that anyone who gets into space just gets brought down by anyone who ascends to the sky. They say there's a hand that keeps people down.
Ooh. Yeah,
a green hand.
Yeah, a big green hand that keeps people down.
Oh, it turns out that Melvar is the baddie all along.
Oh! I did not deserve that reaction.
Because, we've got to work Roger Allen back into it. And I think,
Does he keep cutting back to kind of Simon Pegg and Roger Allen just trying to get them back?
Well, no, I think the warp portal thing that got them here in the first place is still open. And they're trying to get into space before that
closes.
That closes.
Yeah. And say, oh, exactly 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah. They're when they get back to the Enterprise, there's a load of pod race things coming after them.
Yeah.
When they get back to the Tempest.
Yeah.
That's when, who do we say was back there?
RuPaul and Wrenches.
Okay.
Will Wheaton.
Oh, yeah. Will Wheaton. Yeah, Will Wheaton. Let's have Zooey Deschanel be there as well.
Oh, we haven't used her yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just looking at this list. There's eight people.
Zooey Deschanel. Well, we'll have Zooey Deschanel the Romulan, and Melvar have a side plot.
Yeah.
Where they are trying to figure out. They're discovering, because it's an uncovered empire.
Mm.
They're discovering what happened to this planet.
Yes.
To cause this world.
And while they're doing that, Will Wheaton's discovered that the portal is still open for another 24 hours. And that's when he tells the captain, and then there's a big discussion while the pod racers are still coming for them.
Yeah.
And Bonzo Ranchers is fixing the ship kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a shame he's not rigging up a pod racer from two nacelles. and the captain's chair. Yeah.
But I'm thinking they try to get off the planet and then they're brought down by this giant hand.
Yeah, yeah, and they think, oh no, we're never gonna do it. During which time we're cutting between a couple of the Stranger Things kids, Melvar, who's in Dustin's body, and Zooey Deschanel, the Romulan, who have been looking. Zooey Deschanel's like an archaeologist in their spare time, and they've been looking through some of these ruins of a fallen civilization, and they've fallen through the floor like they always do in Star Trek whenever they go into onto a planet they don't know what's going on. Ooh. They fall through the floor into a big hole, and underneath everything is like old Federation shit.
No, yeah, that is newer than they.
Yeah,
their ship.
Yeah.
In fact, one they find like the Enterprise that's been like,
it's
a museum, it's a Federation museum.
They find like one of the really older versions of the Enterprise, like the Enterprise E or something. Find like the remnants of the Enterprise E underneath.
Is it just beyond again?
Yeah. It's beyond, but kind of reverse.
It's beyond beyond.
It's beyond. It's beyond the Lightning Dome.
Star Trek Beyond the Lightning Dome.
We don't need another Star Trek.
Star Trek Beyond the Lightning Dome.
Yeah.
So how are they getting out of this? Because I think a lot of these. So basically, they get brought down by the giant hand. Yeah. At which point, boom! Out of the out of a load of rubble and junk.
Yeah.
The tractor beam.
Yeah.
Fires out a load of stuff. They reverse the polarity into a repulsor beam, as Wesley Crusher knows how to do.
This is where, like, they land. Well, there's a hole, and they land in a Federation museum where they see all the Enterprises.
Yeah,
basically lined just up.
Fan service, really.
Apart from the Enterprise C.
No one
or the D.
That.
The D got blown up as well, didn't it?
What? So they're all in a row.
Remember. This is a civilization that could freely replicate things. If they wanted to make a museum of something, they can.
It'd just be like the little gold statuettes of each of them from First Contact. Looks like you broke your little ships.
But like, these are giant working replicas.
Yeah, they're a real thing. Yeah,
they're all in like this huge hangar which has like a red rope around them all and stuff.
A velvet rope.
These are giant things.
This is a bit that like. This whole bit we brought Spielberg in for.
Yeah.
Because Tarantino wasn't good. Tarantino does all the stuff that's above ground, and all the stuff below is done by Spielberg.
Well, before we see them, we cut to their faces going, like that, and then.
Then there's the real fan service bit where you see like the original like 60s version of the Enterprise, and you pan out, and then there's the A and the B and the C and the D.
As kind of the lights go up in this kind of warehouse, just the original. Because it's clearly the museum kind of entrance. So that's dung, dung,
with the lights coming on.
Dung, 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 dung,
dung. And you think that's non-diegetic, is it? Music.
Yeah, yeah.
You think that's in the soundtrack, but then. You hear over a loudspeaker, space, final frontier.
No, right, and it's...
These were the ships that were called the USS Enterprise.
Its mission. Seek out strange new worlds.
But it's the voice of Roger Allam, who has not aged.
Ooh. Is Roger Allam Q?
Yeah. No. That's ridiculous.
No. This is
ridiculous.
But and he's just there. He walks towards them. It's quite a long way, so he's going, but he's slow clapping.
For
minutes.
Half an hour of this film is Roger Allam walking towards them, slow clapping. And then.
Because it's a long old hangar.
He's
like that scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where like he's running towards the castle, and it's like, bum 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 bum, and it cuts back to the guy he's running at. And then it cuts back, and he's further away than he was. Like the same loop of him running towards him. It's just that, but like, you just keep cutting back to Roger Allam. And he is just getting closer every time, but it just takes a real time of him getting from one of the hangars to the other.
It'd be about a kilometre long.
And Hugo Weaving was like, what the hell are you doing here?
Wait, I thought Hugo Weaving was above.
They all fell through.
I thought it was just Sodesh and Alan Coe, but okay.
They all fell through, and Hugh Ewan's like, what the hell are you doing here? And Roger Allam's like, this is my domain now. That's what he says.
Yep.
And then, basically, right, Roger Allam is being piloted by Melvar's brother.
Right.
Belvoir.
Belvoir.
Who we haven't introduced so far.
Maybe we introduce... No, we don't. We don't. We don't go... We don't retcon this. It's just... Melvar floats forward and goes, Belvoir, is that you?
Belvoir, get out of him this instant. I will tell Mother.
Oh, says you. says you, Mr. I took over Dustin from Stranger Things.
You haven't even figured out how to do it properly. Look, you can't even stop their eyes from bleeding.
You can control a child. I can control a man. A fully grown adult human.
A sensual, muscly, rippling man.
And then,
Roger out.
And then he strips naked and starts licking Dustin from Stranger Things in the ear.
What?
It's just,
what?
Yeah, it's
like, why? That's disgusting.
Because that's how they communicate.
Yeah. No, they like breathe at each other. Yeah. And then there's some of the gas just like...
gas meets.
Yeah,
they're having a fight. Anyway, in the meantime, other members of the crew, this is why I thought that people were still up there, are trying to take off the ship that they kind of repaired and get it into orbit, right? Yeah. And when they get going, they're going to beam the rest of them from down there up above. Like, it doesn't matter, they're underground.
So the ones underground are taken into jail, where they meet a cameo. Who are we thinking?
So we've got all the Enterprises there, so we can have any...
It's got to be Patrick Stewart, isn't it?
That's who I was thinking.
If they've been there for so long, I think it probably has to be Data. He's the only one who might
survive.
If Roger Arms stayed alive, then firstly, for people jumping on this film, I think we need to be a captain.
Right.
Secondly, if Roger Arms still alive, that means that he has the ability to
conceivably keep people alive. Anyone else can.
Yeah. So. And Patrick Stewart is a lot older than he was in TNG, which means that we can have him, like, Logan-style, like, withered and desiccated.
Old man Picard.
Yeah, old man Picard, like, ah, what are you doing? There are four lights out there. You normally keep only the one on so I can read.
He's got Moby Dick on the go.
He's just really bitter because he doesn't have any Earl Grey's and he's got breakfast tea.
Fucking Twinings, fuck you!
Because I forgot Patrick Stewart was in Logan.
Wow, he's the only best bit.
I know. But this is where, right? This is the old man Spock in the new Star Trek reboot.
Yeah.
Where he explains everything.
Yeah.
And that is Roger Allam just didn't die.
Roger Allam used the time warp gate that they went through, that they punched a hole through, to siphon temporal energy through himself to allow for him to stay
alive.
Yeah. But doing so brought Belvoir to him as like a beacon through space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Belvoir was like such a great source of power.
Yeah.
I will take over this creature, and then he did, and then as the Federation crumbled around him because of all the stuff that that he was doing. Mm. Like, he was staying alive, he was just getting older, and he was just, you know, didn't age. And so eventually went to live in the ruins.
He's just there in the background puppeting the Federation.
Yeah, into the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got Hugo Weaving and who else is down there? Zooey Deschanel and who else?
Dustin
from Stranger Things is down in that jail.
Yeah, Melbar's just left him, so he's just twitching on the floor. Because Melbar's fighting Belvoir.
Yeah. Well, that's... as Patrick Stewart has given him the exposition, Belvoir is giving Melvoir the exposition as well, his point of view, which is... Yeah, the Roger Allam had the source of power that was that could destroy the Federation.
So stop the film. It's time for exposition.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, we need to calm this film down.
Flashback.
Yeah. And that's when, like, the Enterprise, Picard's Enterprise, tried to stop him, and the universe, the whole Federation, blew up, and is now Mad Max / Star Wars.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So
where do we go from here, guys?
Well, the rest of the film is easy. You have...
And I know exactly the ending.
You have the big Belvoir hand, the big green hand,
is
Belvoir. Because with that temporal energy, Belvoir is way more powerful than Melvar. Because Melvar has never fed on a huge piece of energy that their race does do. And as such, is just going along normally. But Belvoir has all that big old bag of temporal energy. Huge. But the reason he's small down there is because he's using the rest of his power to keep that big green hand to stop anything from getting off the planet. So, as they start to get off the planet with their regular Enterprise, they're like, beep, beep, like calling guys, you need to go back to the surface so that we can beam you up onto the thing and get ready. And then comes this big green hand to try and swap them out of the way. They're fighting with that, they're trying to dodge it, like nearly getting to warp, but not quite managing to because it's about to hit them, so they have to do, you know, like weird maneuvers, that weird thing that the Picard maneuver where, never mind. They're like dodging this hand all going in and out of its fingers and stuff, trying to keep it busy. They're just about to lose to this hand, when out of the surface just punches through like three separate Enterprises, like busting through the crust.
What music? Because we've had
Beastie Boys.
Fight for your right to party.
Fine.
And each one has all of them do it, and each one has the captain from that ship.
CGI'd up to fuck.
So you've got on the original one, you've got Christopher Pike. On the A, you've got Kirk. On the B, you've got John Harriman. On C, you've got Rachel Garrett. On D, you've got Picard. And on E, you've got Captain Data, because Star Trek Online is canon.
And on F, you've got Grand Moff Tarkin CGI'd up.
And on G, it's just Han Solo.
Just cut to him and Chewbacca. It's getting awfully lot like Spaceballs now.
So anyway, these three separate things. We'll say that Picard and, I don't know, Kirk have been like kept alive to become ancient, because we've got Shatner and we've got fucking Patrick Stewart. That'll be enough, right?
Yeah.
And then the rest is being piloted by Stranger Things kids and and Will Wheaton. So like they've got those two like busting out, and then they use their combined like photon torpedo thing to blast at this thing and distract him long enough to get through the get back through the portal, where they immediately like surround
Roger Allam.
Roger Allam.
Grandfather paradoxing the whole thing.
Yeah,
that if they kill Roger Allam, then the whole thing didn't happen.
Well, yeah, so they kill Roger Allam, and then but they have this council where they're about to kill Roger Allam, and then Patrick Stewart's like, I know that it's time for me to say goodbye. I've had my life, and because he knows he's not going to exist if they kill Roger Allam.
On his last words, I'll disengage. Oh, that is beautiful.
Go ahead, you young guns. Make it so.
Wipes a single tear from his cheek.
Yeah, you see the tear fall, and then you see the shadow on the tear dissipate as
beautiful.
Not a dry eye in the audience.
Yeah, that is far too sophisticated.
Completely unearned.
So yeah, I'm thinking how they get there is it's like Lost in Space, so it's like 2 seconds after they've gone out.
Yes.
They've come back, and it's Roger Allam's going, want to go for a spot of tea, Simon Pegg's character? Scotty. And All right, then. I'll go.
Sandpiper's like, shouldn't we wait for them? Should they come back? And he's like, they probably won't be back.
Yeah, they come out and he's like, God damn it! This is where... Karen Gillan jumps out of the window of the ship, carried by Melvar, with a gun's phaser set to kill. She pushes her glasses up and jumps through the window of the space station and then shoots Roger Allam in the face.
And that's it.
Oh, but what is the line?
Cut to black.
There's got to be a badass line.
No.
She says... Bang.
Cut to black. Star Trek...
Beyond the Lightning Dome.
Beyond the Lightning Dome, yeah. Uncovered Empire, forget it. Comes up in Comic Sans.
Yep. That's the end of that film.
Yeah.
That was, there you go.
Yeah, that was our Star Trek film that we pitched, Star Trek Uncovered Empire.
Yep.
Thank you, Alex, Not Safe for Work Keen, for that title. We do have some awards to give out, as always, the Yes, Very Clever Award. This is an award that we give out to people who've given us film titles that are based on existing film titles or are a pun on the genre or whatever. We had a lot. This week,
I imagine that, like, you know, like Spock to the Future, sort of like.
So that's a good one. I don't think that was one of them. Should we play the sting?
Yep.
Yes, very clever.
Well, there it is.
Yep, that's the sting for the Yes, Very Clever Award. I've basically, right, there was more candidates for the Yes, Very Clever Award this week than there was actual titles.
Suggestion.
Yeah. It was very tough to narrow down. I've got down to three. Three ones that may gave me a little chuckle. Gave me a little chuckle. The first one from Rob Graham. He's got Dude, Where's My Khan?
Nice.
Yeah. This is the problem we've been running through all night, which is just like, not everyone knows who that is. You can use that.
Yeah. From James Dixon, we've got Big Tribble in Little China.
Big Tribble in Little China.
Big Tribble, yeah. And from Phil Wattles, we've got Chekhov's Phaser, which, Ed, you gave as a title that was Pavel Chekhov's Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. If there's a gun in a film or a scene,
it will be used.
Yeah. So thank you for those titles, guys. The Yes, Very Clever Award is given to you three people this week.
Yep.
Well done.
Yes, very clever.
Yes, very clever.
Very clever.
Yes, very clever to all of you this week, to be honest. Anyone listening who's given us titles this week, yes, very clever.
We get it.
So before we end this week's episode, just want to give a big shout out to our Patreon
patrons.
The peepees, as we call them.
Yeah, we call them our peepees.
Peepees, yeah.
Yeah.
They're our peepees, our Patreon people. I would be
nowhere without my peepees.
Yeah, to get bonus stuff from us, you can go to our Patreon page. This means if you give $1 a month to us, you can vote for the genre each week, and there are many more benefits to pledging more money every month towards the podcast. So yeah, please visit us there, patreon.com/ Life's a Bitch Podcast.
Yeah, you can get all sorts over there. Most of all, to be honest, it really helps us.
Yeah.
We don't have any sponsors. We're not part of a big amalgamation. We don't get any money directly out of the show, except for the very, very generous people who keep the show going with their patronage.
Those people are Ross_Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, Spicy Boy, Mihir Trivedi, Alex Keane, and Stephen Douglas Thomas. So thank you for your contributions, guys.
Thank you, everyone. Real helpful.
Yeah, and also this is a reminder to visit us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show as well.
Yeah, go over there, tell us what you think of the episode, and tell us what you think of the podcast in general.
Yeah, go ahead.
And of course, every week, make sure you give us those titles.
Yeah, make it so.
That's a Star Trek reference.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Jack and Ed, where can people find you?
So you can, I'm a member of Strike, so you can find Strike's podcast on SoundCloud, Strike spelled S-T-U-R-I-K-E. You can also find us on Facebook at Strike Comedy, I believe.
Yes. Everyone from Strike has come on, has asked me.
Yeah. Like, where can you find us?
We're out there somewhere. We've got some shows coming up. We're going to be at Rotherham Pride fundraiser in a couple of weeks. We've also got a show coming up in June, so quite a way away yet. If you find us on Facebook, all the information about that will be there. I'm also in the Shrimps, which is the University of Sheffield's improv group, and we've got lots of shows hopefully coming up soon.
Yes.
After Easter, I think we're going to be having at least a couple before the summer.
Ed, where can people find you?
So I'm in the Shrimps as well as Jack, and everything he said applies.
Yeah.
Okay. So until they make a Star Trek episode or film better than the one we've pitched.
Impossible.
Yeah, it is impossible.
Irrelevant!
Yes, until they make a Star Trek film better than the one we've pitched, I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Jack Greenway.
I've been Ed Crawley.
Remember who pitched it?
Bye! Bye.